You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. President Trump's first speech before a joint session of Congress delivered familiar themes.
For too long, we've watched our middle class shrink as we've exported our jobs and wealth to foreign countries. We've financed and built one global project after another, but ignored the fates of our children in the inner cities of Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, and so many other places throughout our land.
And delivered in a tone viewed as more presidential, more aspirational.
We are one people with one destiny. We all bleed the same blood. We all salute the same great American flag. And we all are made by the same God.
Let's see how the president's speech was received on both sides of the aisle. We begin by welcoming Congressman Paul Mitchell, the Republican representative from Michigan's 10th District. Congressman, how would you characterize the president's speech?
It captured the aspirations of Americans. It captured the expectations that they have of the president and Congress to get things done. And I think a great job of outlining the agenda over the next 6 to 9 months, which is to repeal Obamacare, to restore health care in America, to address our tax system, which is truly a nightmare, and to have a tax reform for all Americans, and to get at our infrastructure, which is obviously a significant issue in Michigan and across this nation, to start to fix our infrastructure and have a program to do that, not have it be haphazard. We made great gains in terms of outlining that direction, and I think we're moving forward.
In talking about health care and repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, the phrase the president used last night, and one we're hearing more and more from Republicans, is the phrase access to coverage. That word access, it can mean several things. What does it mean to you?
Well, I think we have to recognize there's a difference between having health insurance and being able to access health care. Deductibles and copay costs have just gone through the roof. So you may have health insurance, and you face the dilemma, can I use the health insurance? Can I afford to go to the doctor or have a procedure? Can I afford my prescriptions? So the reality is we have to address the fundamental concern, which is what it costs for people to get access to actually secure health care. The plan that's in place, I think bills will be unveiled next week to begin that process further, will start to address those issues so that, in fact, the objective is to have health care for all Americans they can access and be healthy.
Infrastructure. The president called for a $1 trillion investment in infrastructure. What do you think that might come at the expense of? Like, how do we pay for that?
Well, first, I think President Trump is a private business guy. You're well aware of that. I come from the private business world. Step one in addressing how you spend money is, are you spending the money you have right now efficiently and effectively? I believe we're going to see budget cuts in federal agencies. You saw the freeze on non-essential personnel. We're going to reduce the number of people sitting in cubicles that is questionable how much productivity we get out of them, and it can't be possible to measure. I think the first expectation is, how much money are we spending that we really aren't getting much return on it? I advocated zero-based budgeting. Now, something the size of the federal government, that can be hard to do for every agency every year, but if you did it on a rotating basis every 2 to 3 years, you can start to address how money is truly being spent. And to be honest, it's massive.
Congressman, I want to turn to the president's tone and message about immigration and what
sure.
we heard last night.
Sure.
There are immigrants who are here illegally, who commit crimes, yes. But the vast majority of people who are here without documents are like you and like me. They're working hard and they're trying to make a better life for themselves and their families. How do you distinguish between the ones our president calls the bad hombres and the rest of these hardworking people?
Well, I think the president talked about that last night in admittedly broad terms, and I think that's the role of the president, especially when you're talking about to the United States people and what he expects from Congress. We first have to address securing our borders, failure to do that. You're not a nation if you don't have borders. We also talked last night about immigration reform and having the courage to stand up and talk about our immigration system, which is as outmoded as you could possibly expect. The reality is this country should use a merit-based or skill-based system for immigration in this country and not what we've used for, 50 or 60 years? I have to go back and look the last time any major revisions made in that. That would begin to address the issue of we train huge numbers of people in this country, engineers, other things, and when they can't stay here, if they want to, they've got to go back home. We pay to train them, and our college universities, there's taxpayer money goes into that. We tell them they can't stay here. They can contribute to our economy. They can build businesses here. Our system set up poorly. We need to start doing that, and I believe the president is intent on moving forward with that.
Congressman, last night Mr. Trump said that his job is not to represent the world. It's to represent the American people.
Thank goodness.
Well, is this not a retreat from the long-held view that the president is the leader of the free world?
The president is the leader of the United States, and the United States is the leader of the free world. But the first thing you have to do is you have to lead your country. You have to put your country first. You have to put your citizens and your voters first. That ought to be the role of the president. It certainly is also my role in terms of my role in Congress. The first concern needs to be what is in the best interest of our country, our citizens, our economy. That's question one. And beyond that is, to some extent, you know, offer guidance and leadership for the rest of the world, and any given thing, try to do no harm in the process. But we've had that, in my opinion, very distorted over the last 8 years. And frankly, we talked about being leader of the free world, and we didn't even do that well.
Mr. Trump's tone during the speech last night, many are saying very different from the inauguration speech and his acceptance speech at the convention. To what do you attribute that change in tone?
Well, I think there's a change. There's a change when you're campaigning and when you actually begin the process of governing. But I think the tone last night was precisely what it needed to be. We need to come together and do the right thing for this country. And I agree with him entirely on the partisanship being destructive. We spend a whole lot of time sometimes dealing with messaging votes, and we don't get as much done as we could. Let's message less, do more.
Republican Congressman Paul Mitchell, thank you so much for taking our questions, Congressman.
Good to talk to you.
For the Democratic reaction to last night's speech, we welcome Congressman Dan Kildee, the Democratic representative from the 5th District in Flint. Congressman, what did you take away from the president's speech?
Well, I mean, I think the reviews that his tone was better than what we've heard are honest. You know, he didn't call anybody a name. He didn't use pejorative language about any population. But there was really no substance to the policy proposals that he laid out. They were all very broad stroke. And I think he has a math problem. He wants to invest $1 trillion in infrastructure. I'm with him on that. But he wants to do it and also increase defense spending by an enormous sum, cut taxes, cut our domestic agenda. I don't know how he does it. It seems as though, as president, he is yet to embrace the fact that he has to make hard choices, not just say things that he thinks people want to hear. We're going to have to see some more substance before we can really judge how this presidency will go. But so far, I'm not impressed.
Did he say anything last night that you could get behind?
This notion of spending on infrastructure is something that many of us have been proposing for a very long time. The problem is this. We have a specific proposal that we've been working on. He just says, I'm going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. He should bring a plan to Congress. I mean, there are a lot of things that he said that I disagree with. I'm very concerned about sort of continued generalization about immigration, about immigrants and what they mean to our society, this idea of privatizing funding for public education, including using public dollars to fund religious schools. There was a lot to disagree with, but on those areas where I agree, I'm looking for something more substantive, something that I can actually point to and say, yeah, let's do this. So far, he's just sending get-well cards to our infrastructure when we really need real investment.
There was no mention of Flint water last night. What would you be looking for him to say?
Well, I think he should accept the responsibility that as president, he has to take care of these crises. President Obama stepped up. Now Donald Trump's the president. I would have preferred to hear him mention Flint, that he's going to finish the work that President Obama started. My guest was Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha for the address last night, hoping to sort of make that point. But alas, there was no mention of Flint.
The president said last night, everything that is broken in our country can be fixed. So why not join forces, Democrats and Republicans, to unite for the good of our country and the people? And that got me wondering, have you or any of your Democratic colleagues been invited to the table by the White House?
No, we have not. I have reached out to the White House specifically on issues related to Flint and infrastructure, and so far, no response.
We have seen presidents in the past, both Democratic and Republican presidents, and the American people, long considering our president to be the leader of the free world. Congressman, last night we heard the president say to us, his job is not to represent the world, it's to represent the American people. Is this not a retreat from America's world leadership role?
I think it's a dangerous signal that that could be the direction he wants to take. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, in order to, I think, pander to some voices, Donald Trump oversimplifies so many things. The truth of the matter is the role of the United States and the role of the President of the United States is complex. He has to be able to be a leader for our country and has a principal responsibility to lead this nation. But it's impossible to ignore the fact that our national interests are very much aligned with our place on the globe. And you can't make that sort of distinction without raising the question as to what this means. We have a responsibility to the world, to ourselves, to be a beacon of hope and light, and to be an agent for change that's positive. It's in our national interest to do so, but we also have a moral calling to do that. And it's very concerning to hear a president articulate a withdrawal from the use of the U.S.'s moral authority in the world. That's not smart, it's not in our interest, and it's not consistent with the values of the people of this country.
Congressman Dan Kildee, we want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.